Well, God bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, and we're the 12th of January 2017, and it started off a fantastic year, and we know it's going to continue in that way, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And we thank God for his word, that he's given us his word, that we can put that on in our hearts, that we can walk out and we can know how to walk, and that we can live unto God. You know, and that's the thing for the year, you know, is to live unto God. And to live unto God is living it in our daily lives, in our attitudes, in our hearts, our minds, our confessions, in the way that we are, in our service to others. And tonight I want to teach on walking in love. And if you go to Colossians, I'd like you to take your Bibles and go to the book of Colossians, and we're going to start there. And Eleanor Pekarinen, or Eleanor Ruti now, from Finland, she done a wonderful encouragement teaching, and she went to this record in Colossians, and it blessed me. So I thought I'd start off with this. And in first one it says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth." See, we want to keep our minds focused on God and the things that he has planned for us and the things that he's given to us and who we are in Christ. So we want to keep our mind orientated on those things, not what the world promotes and throws at us and says we are and what we should do and how we should think and how we should be. Because it says, "For you are dead," in verse 3, "and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, these acts, these things, these ways, fornication, uncleanness, inordinance, affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." And idolatry is anything that we put before God in our lives. "For which things sake the wrath of God coming upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometimes," or once, "when you lived in them." So at one time we lived in those things, in those emotions, in those attitudes, in those thought patterns, and in our actions, we lived in them. But now that we're born again, that we're a new creation in Christ, that we got God in Christ in us, it says, "But now ye also put off." So like putting on your clothes in the morning and putting off your clothes at night, that's how we do it. We just put it off from us, or we put the things on. So we put off the old man nature and its ways, and we put on the new garments and the new attitudes, the new thoughts. "But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another." That's what the old man done, "seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, with his works, and have put on," again, we put it on, like a new garment. We get up in the morning, we put our best clothes on, and we put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, again, something that we have to do. There's an action there, right? "Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." And this is something that we need to practice in our lives. Everyone needs to practice these things that are being mentioned. And here in verse 14 is where I want to get to. And it says, "Above all these things," above all the things that have just been previously mentioned, "put on charity." This word charity is the word agape, and it refers to the love of God. "Put on charity, the love of God, which is the bond of perfectness." And then it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which you are also called in one body, and be thankful." So God shows us how we can be, how we can think, and how we can act, okay? And that we get the blessings from that, because we're a new creation in Christ now. We're not living in the old man. We're not living in unforgiveness and bitterness. We're letting those things go. We're letting the new man being developed and born in us. And as we walk out, as we put these truths on in our minds and live them, then we become more like Christ, more Christ-like in our dealings, in our hearts, in our minds, in our actions, in our attitudes. And in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 5, again, it's all about the action. Walking means action, okay? And it means that we deliberately, by the freedom of our choice, decide to do what God wants us to do. And so, in Ephesians 5, first one, it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children." So, God wants us to be followers of Him. He wants us to be imitators. This word follower is imitator, is to imitate. So, as a child would imitate his father or his parents, and how they are, their attitudes, God wants us to imitate Him, His attributes. As dear children, you know, we're endeared to the heart of the Father, and He loves us, and He's given His Son for us so that we can have this relationship like father and son and daughter, and daughter and father. And verse 2, and it says, and walk in love. See, it involves action, it involves putting these truths on in our hearts and minds and doing it. And walk in love as, like for an example, Christ also have loved us and have given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Saviour. You know, the badge of Christianity is the love of God, living in them, in the hearts and minds and actions of the believer. And God really wants us to walk in love. When we walk in love, then we can show people the love of God in our lives and how He has blessed us and how He has changed us and how He has clothed us, and that they too can have the same relationship with a loving Heavenly Father. We want to be those witnesses. And I like to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And this is just a really wonderful record about the love of God. And I want to read it from the Amplified Bible. Okay, and I just love the translation here, and it's called, they've titled it The Excellence of Love. And it says in verse 1, "If I speak with the tongues of man and angels, but have not love for others growing out of God's love for me, then I have become only a noisy gonging or a clanging cymbal, just annoying distraction. And if I have the gift of prophecy and speak a new message from God to the people and understand all mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have all sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but do not have love reaching out to others, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burnt, but do not have love, it does me no good at all. Love, and this is God's love, endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful and is not jealous or envious." That's the jealous and envious is the traits and emotions of the old man nature. "Love does not brag and is not proud or arrogant. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not provoked, nor overly sensitive and easily angered. It does not take into account a wrong endured. It does not rejoice in injustice, but rejoices with the truth when right and truth prevail. Love bears all things, regardless of what comes, believes all things, looking for the best in each one, hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times, endures all things without weakening. Love never fails. It never fades nor ends. But as for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for the gift of special knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. For our knowledge is fragmentary and incomplete. But when that which is complete and perfect comes," referring to Jesus Christ, that which is incomplete and partial will pass away. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now, in this time of imperfection, we see in a mirror dimly, a blurred reflection, a riddle, an enigma. But then, when the time of perfection comes, we will see reality face to face. Now, right now, as we live, I know in part, just in fragments. But then I will know fully, just as I have been fully known by God. And now three remain: faith, abide and trust in God and his promises; hope, confident expectation of eternal salvation; and love, unselfish love for others growing out of God's love for me. These three, the choicest graces, but the greatest of these is love. And I just think that's wonderful how they put that together to show the importance of the love of God. Like, we can have all knowledge, we can have all faith, but without that love of God, love for God and love for others in our life, it doesn't mean nothing. Because God wants us to reach out to others with his love. It's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance, not the judgment of God, not the condemning of others, not the putting down of others, but it's about lifting up. And, you know, we really just want to be walking in love. We really want to put that on in our hearts and minds. We decide if we're going to walk in love. And as we decide, then God energizes that through his Spirit that's living in us. Can you see? Like I said, grace is God's divine influence upon our heart. Grace empowers us to do what the truth demands of us. When we've really got our minds set to do what God wants us to do, then the most important thing we can do is love people. And it's through the knowledge of his word that we also get to understand this. We can see it living in the life of Jesus Christ. And don't you think he was knowledgeable? Don't you think he knew things? He certainly knew things. But what shone out? It was his love. And people remember the love that you do things with rather than what and how you do it. If you do things and it's not done out of love, people won't remember that. If you've got a head full of knowledge and you're a smart person, people won't remember that, but they remember what you do for them. They remember your kindness, your tenderness, your love. When I think of Jesus Christ, I don't know about you, but the first thing I think of is what he done for me. Right? And that was that he was crucified. He laid down his life. He gave it up. That's the first thing. When someone mentions Jesus Christ's name, even at the end of a prayer, it comes to my mind what he actually done for me. And that he laid down his life. The greatest act of love was that he laid down his life for his friends. He laid it down for the world. So that we could come into this relationship, this love relationship with the Father. Just like Jesus Christ had a love relationship going on, a Father and a Son. And we can have that same relationship, but we are the ones who decide to put on that love. And that love of God is living in your heart through the Holy Spirit. But you've got to let it come alive through the renewing of your mind by understanding and putting on the truths of the word in your heart and saying, God, I want to do this, and you work in me. It's being thankful for what God's done for us. It's remembering that we were nothing, but he made us something. If you go to 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 9. So 1 John 4:9 we're going to read. But before that, like, if you think about love, love really is obedience. And it's not pleasing of ourselves. But when we're living in the love of God, then we're looking to serve others. We're looking to be a blessing to others. We're looking to edify other people. And in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "In this was manifested the love of God towards us." Manifested was made evident. "Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." If God wanted us to have this life, and we had to live it through his Son, and he had to send his Son. In other words, God didn't just look at the world and say, "Well, I really love those people down there," and didn't do nothing about it. Love was an action on the part of God, and love is action. Love is what energizes our faith. When we got that love of God living in our hearts and minds, then our faith is energized to do. And in 1 John 4:9 it says, "In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." Verse 10. "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the payment for our sin. So God loved us so much that he went into action, he sent his Son, and that sin had to be dealt with. And Jesus Christ was the one that dealt with it. And if you think, you know, Jesus Christ was obedient to the Father because he loved the Father. When he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he say? Father, if this cup can pass from me, yet not what I want, but what you want. And love on the part of a believer is doing what God wants us to do and responding to his love because he first loved us. And he chose us. We didn't choose him. He chose us. And we responded to that love so that we could become that love. And God wants each believer to become love. And sometimes we can look at people, we can look at circumstances, we can look at situations, and we can judge people because they're not doing something. And we have to remember that God's love was unconditional. It wasn't dependent upon anything, right? There's no ties in there, right? It's unconditional. It's not based upon what you do either, right? You do not have to meet certain conditions to be loved by the love of God. It's not based upon your performance. And I think sometimes religious people think they have to do certain things to be loved by God. And if you think right now, today, it's still the same truth in John 3:16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," that means anyone, "believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Okay, that is still true today. God loves the world, the people in the world. Okay, and it's not based upon their performance. Jesus Christ paid the penalty of sin, and all they have to do is receive God's love by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And if God still loves the unbeliever today, yeah, which he does, how much more does he love those that love him, that have received this forgiveness? See, God really, really is for you. He's really for us. And this is that great grace that we live in, that we do have that love of God, and that we also can become love. Because we are God's children, we have his nature residing in us. But we have to decide that we're going to live that way, that we're going to think that way, that we're going to let Christ be formed in us that way. Verse 17, it says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Listen, we shouldn't be judging people, the unbelievers. We were there where they were, and God doesn't want us to be judging them, all right? But he wants us to be loving them. How much more in the body of Christ should we be loving one another? How much more should we be rooting for one another, just like Jesus Christ is rooting for all of his saints right now? Instead, when someone does something wrong, we're pretty quick to point the finger, we're pretty quick to judge, we're pretty quick to distance ourselves and turn away. But if you're doing that as a believer, then you're not walking in love. And what you're doing is not going to be profitable. It doesn't mean nothing. Right? Our love is about service. Our love is about helping people, encouraging people. How many chances did God give us? Many chances when we blew it. How many chances should we be that to other people when they blow it with us? Yeah? And then we should be loving and encouraging to that, those people. And then we can see God's love again in 1 Timothy 2:4. And God encourages people to pray for, you know, kings and all those that are in authority so that we can lead a quiet and peaceful life. And in 1 Timothy 2:4 it carries on and says, "Who, God, will have all men to be saved and to come unto a knowledge of the truth," a knowledge of the truth of the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the redemption of God, the justification of God in Christ Jesus. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom." It took love on the part of Jesus Christ, love for the Father, and also love that he knew that we could also enjoy this relationship with God. He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. If we go to 2 Peter, we're just looking at some records here, and about this love of God. And, you know, God really wants us to walk in love. He really wants us to put on his love in our minds. And again, it's a decision. Every day it's a decision that we're going to walk in love, that we're going to, you know, esteem higher, people higher than ourselves, that we're going to walk in love, we're going to serve in love, that we're going to encourage other people and to provoke one another unto love and to good works. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some man count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to" what? Repentance. That all should change direction that they're going. And that love is living in us. We just got to put it on. We just got to switch the light on of love and let that manifest from us. When we go to Romans, again, we see a bit more about the love of God and how it should be played out in our lives and what true love is. And it's not, there's no conditions in that love. Well, I'll love you if you follow me. I love you if you do exactly what I'm telling you to do. I love you if you follow my teachings and what I'm telling you that you should be working in the Word. Or I love you if you abundantly share to me. Or I love you if you come to my home and you help me do this program that I'm putting together. That's not love. Romans 12, verse 9 says, "Let love be without dissimulation." That means hypocrisy. "Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honour preferring one another." And this "be kindly affectionate" puts it in the category of like in a family. Do you know in a family that you're kindly affectionate one towards another because you've got a brother or a sister or a nan or a granddad, a wife? It's in that family kind of love. And we're in the family of God, and that love, we should be preferring one another. We should be helping, we should be encouraging one another. We should be there for one another. We shouldn't be distancing ourselves because we may not agree on something or because someone done something wrong. We've been forgiven. We're righteous before God. Now, we may not be living righteously in an area, but we should then walk in love to that person and show them how they can walk righteously in an area. All right? Now, like I said, our standing before God is always sons and daughters before him. All right? But what about our state? Where are we in our hearts and minds? Where are we in the application of that word living in our hearts and our lives? Now, we're sanctified. We're righteous before God, but we're sanctified so that we can live righteously. We're set apart to live righteously, to show forth this love of God in our lives. So God wants us to really love one another. He wants the body of Christ united in love so that he can get his work done. And if someone's not tracking with the other parts of the body, we can be an example to them and help them and give them a hand up rather than push them down with the foot. In Peter, I think it's 1 Peter, I missed out the thing, 1:22, it says, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto" what? "Unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." See, these are instructions to the believers and how we should be walking in love and how that we're not to be two-faced in love, and how we're to love one another with a pure heart, with unframed love. Like in the like in your natural family, you favour those people within your family because they're your blood. They're the people that you've raised, that you produce through, you know, that you had together. And or they're your mum and your dad that you looked up to, that brought you up in life. Or they're your grandparents. There's great love within a family, right? And in your families, you look out for one another. That's how we should be looking out for one another, even more so within the body of believers. If you look up these words, unframed love and being kindly affectionate is referring to that family love. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1:3 says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or adequate, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity, the love of every one of you, all towards each other aboundeth." See, our love in the amongst the body of believers should be abounding. It should be increasing, not decreasing. And when we allow our five sense minds to come in, we can really be harsh with one another at times. We can really judge one another or distance ourselves, but that's not love. And, you know, God just really put this in my heart just to share with people, to encourage them, to really think about, you know, are they walking in love? Are they really helping people? Not just with knowledge of what they understand, not just with signs, miracles and wonders and those things, but are they doing it with the love of God, that God is really first, that the compassion for the people is there, and then the support for the people that become born again is there. So this is just really important, and it's just really in my heart. 1 John 4:7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Verse 8, He that loveth not God knoweth not God, for God is love. Our Father is love. Shouldn't that spiritual DNA of love be in us? It is in us, but we have to decide to put it on. We have to decide to walk in love. We have to decide to serve in love. We have to decide to give in love, to minister in love. Okay, and John, go to John. So our service to one another is very important. John chapter 15. And, you know, and our service is not to be mechanical. Well, okay, I'm going to do fellowship, I'm going to run this class, I'm going to set up this big meeting or this big get-together. It's not the mechanical things, well, it'd be a nice idea. It's because of the love that we want to do. We want to edify other believers to rise up in their walk with God and Christ and to live it out and to show it forth and to be a witness in this world. John 15, verse 13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And we should do that. We can do that. Jesus Christ done it. He's our greatest example. And verse 14, he says, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." You know, if when we do these things that are commanded to us in the church epistles, okay, then we're pleasing to God. We're going to be a blessing to God, but we're also going to be a blessing to the people around us, whether they're believers or unbelievers. And people will always respond to love, and that love will never fail. It'll always come back with fruit. And if we want fruit, genuine fruit, we got to do these things with the love of God. There's no point in having a great outreach ministry if there's no love there, if there's no encouragement there, if there's no forgiveness there. All those things that Christ is should be manifested through our lives. But we have to decide that we're going to live that way. Every day we put on the Word of God. We put off the old man. We put off our old reactions, our attitudes. And as we grow and develop in the Word, this will become a part of us because it'd be natural to us. Can you see? Because we've put off that old man. We're allowing this new creation in Christ to live in us. And God wants us to do that. So I've got some scriptures here, right? And we can practice these things. So it's a list. And I put it together on a PDF file. So those that are listening to this, you can open up the PDF file and you can write these down. And I'll go through them now. And there's a list of 37 things, right? And you'll see what I'm saying here. So number one, be devoted to one another. Romans 12:10. Number two, give preference to one another. Romans 12:10. Number three, be of the same mind towards one another. Romans 12:6. Number four, accept one another by withholding judgment. Romans 14:1. Accept one another by showing difference. Romans 14:1-5 and Romans 15:7. Number six, esteem or highly regard one another in love. Romans 14:5 and Philippians 2:3. Number seven, build up one another. Romans 14:19 and 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Number eight, counsel one another. Romans 15:14. Number nine, serve one another by showing difference in matters of freedom or liberty. Galatians 5:13. Number 10, bear one another's sins or burdens. Galatians 6:2. Number 11, be gentle with one another. Ephesians 4:2. Number 12, be kind to one another so as to preserve unity. Ephesians 4:32. Number 13, speak truth to one another. Ephesians 4:25 and Colossians 3:9. Number 14, submit to one another. Ephesians 5:21. Number 15, show compassion to one another. Colossians 3:12. Number 16, forbearing one another in love. Colossians 3:13. And also Colossians 3:13. Number 17, forgive one another. Number 18, fellowship together in all these areas. Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:19. Number 19, comfort one another with the hope of Christ's return. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Number 20, encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. 21, live in peace with one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:13. Number 22, seek good for one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. Number 23, encourage one another to forsake unbelief and hardness of heart. Hebrews 3:13. 24, stimulate one another to spiritual growth. Hebrews 10:24. Number 25, encourage one another by faithful participation in your fellowship. Hebrews 10:25. 26, confess broken fellowship to one another. James 5:16. 27, pray for one another's spiritual and physical healing. James 5:16. 28, be long-suffering and patient towards one another. 1 Peter 4:8. 29, be hospitable one to another without complaint. 1 Peter 4:9. 30, serve one another. 1 Peter 4:10 and Galatians 5:13. 31, act in humility toward one another. Act in humility towards one another. 1 Peter 5:5. 32, show holy affection to one another. 1 Peter 5:14. 33, participate in the love walk with one another. 1 John 7. 34, refuse to become resentful towards one another. 1 John 3:11-12. 35, give sacrificially to meet one another's needs. 1 John 3:16-17. That's 1 John 3:16-17. 36, fight fear together by growing in love. 1 John 4:18. And 37, walk in truth together. 1 John 3:18 and 1 John 3:18 and 2 John 1:5. So there's lots of things that we can do from the scriptures that we can apply in our life, that we can really live this word together, that we can really encourage one another, that we can excite one another unto love and to good works. There's no excuses, because God has written everything down for us. And if we go to the word, if we work that word, if we really want to be pleasing to God, and we really want to be a blessing to others, then we're going to walk in love. And that's what God really, that's the first thing that we're to do. In Matthew, what did Jesus Christ say? The first two commandments is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and to love your neighbour as yourself. On these hang all the law and the prophets. So this is my encouragement to you, this, that you, you know, that you decide to walk in love, that you decide to put on the love of God. You take off the old garment of resentfulness, the old garment of hard-heartedness, unforgiveness, and that you put on God's love in your mind by going to the Word, by seeing what God says about it, and then thinking His thoughts, then asking God to energize that in you. You decide. And as you decide, God, by His Spirit, energizes that in you so that you can do it. That grace empowers you to do what the truth demands of you to do. And that's what God wants. It's a command to walk in love. It's not a request. It's a command. And that's what we should do out of a pure heart, because we're just so thankful for all the things that we've been forgiven of, that we should have been judged, the mercy we've received, the forgiveness we've received, the healings that we received. That we should really be thankful, and we should really want to honour God by walking in love, and honour the household by living in love and serving in love. So anyway, God bless you. Have a great week, all right? And have a great weekend. See you Monday. God bless.